Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Dr. John here. You can get in touch with me at wsm217@gmail.com. Hope you're having a blessed day. It's another beautiful day that the Lord has made. We're going to be going over Hebrews chapter 4. Very interesting. God goes into it. I just want to say one thing. The New Testament wasn't written yet, as of the writing of Hebrews, and it went, and the whole New Testament wasn't even canonized. So what Paul the Apostle, the assumption is, who wrote it, was talking about the Old Testament, of course. And he really explains the rest that a believer has. Let's see if we can understand that. It's interesting how he begins the chapter. And, of course, you know, he didn't divide the epistle of Hebrews up into chapters. Somebody did that later. I forget his name. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. If he begins, you know, explaining, don't miss out on the rest. This chapter ends explaining the rest as believers have. And so, again, the common denominator of entering into this rest is faith. Okay, I'm going to read verse 1 again. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I'm going to say something else about this rest. I think a lot of Christians miss out on the rest that is available to us as believers now, myself included. And we'll get to that. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, the word that is being spoken about here is the Old Testament, obviously. And Paul goes into the different areas of the Word of God, the Old Testament, explaining the gospel and the rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now he's dividing people into two categories. Everybody heard it, was exposed to it. The difference is faith versus unbelief, belief versus unbelief. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, thank you, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. So, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So the Sabbath day was, Sabbath means rest. It means to rest. And so what he's saying here is, even though the Sabbath day is a day of rest, it was already established on the seventh day of creation. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day for all of his works, from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And I'm going to use this application. They didn't honor the word of God in resting on the seventh day. That was one of the Ten Commandments, to rest on the seventh day. And they didn't honor it. They didn't believe. And again, God says, y'all will let this land, a seventh of the land, rest every seventh year. But they didn't do that. They didn't believe. Verse 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8, for if Jesus, is that Jesus Christ here, is not our Messiah, is Jesus in the Greek is Joshua. And so what they did here was translate Joshua from the Greek and translate it into Jesus. I don't have time to go into that, the Greek, different Greek words for that. But anyhow, it's Joshua they're talking about that was Moses' understudy. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He's talking about David, who was a prophet. He was a leader. He was one of God's chosen, as a man after God's own heart. And he wrote some of the scriptures, and he's quoting some of the scriptures or Psalms that he wrote. And again, you got Joshua. Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. So he's going into the word of God and bringing out how he explained and how he promoted the day of rest through the word of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Talk about the Sabbath. Talk about the day of rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And again, he's saying labor. In other words, the labor here is resisting temptation. That's the labor. That's the work. Resisting the temptation not to honor rest, not to acknowledge the rest of God, the grace of God, but to believe it. To believe it. And we'll see that in a couple minutes. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a very well-known, famous verse to me of the strength, the power of God's word. And again, Paul's talking about the Old Testament here, and he's bringing out different areas at different periods of time of the word of God being written, and it's the same theme. Believe the word of God. It's sharper. It is quick. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus Christ put another word. There's not one jot or tittle that's going to fail from the word of God. He said that. It's the same thing. Believe the word of God. Labor to obey the word of God. Fight the temptations not to believe the word of God. Go through and do the word of God no matter what, how hard it is. It is sometimes. It is. The temptations come. Okay. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God, the eternal God with no ending, beginning or ending. There is no creature, there is nothing that wasn't in his sight when he created everything. He foresaw and foreknew everything. And that's how the Word of God is written, to take in everything, and that there is not anything, as it says here, that is not in his sight or considered or taken care of or addressed in the Word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto his eye, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God's considered it all. He's seen it all. There's nothing new to him. And he, in his eternal and errant word of God, has included everything in what we have as the word of God. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Here's the high priest. Again, a reference to God's word and how he had spelt out in the book of Moses how the high priest is to live and act and everything else. What's he to do? It was his office. We have a high priest, the greatest high priest, Jesus Christ, who is in the heavens living today and interceding for us today. Let us hold fast our profession. That's that labor, that holding fast in believing the word of God. For we have not a high priest, verse 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let that sink in. We have a high priest. He's been here. He's done it. He's got the trophies. He's been through it. He's been through everything that you and I would go through, and we haven't gone through a lot that he has gone through with all the temptations and all the trials. He labored to keep the word of God, to experience that rest with while living the word of God here on earth in the same flesh like you and I. And he did it, and he accomplished it. He did it. He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the rest. The rest is to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't do it enough. I don't have faith. My faith needs to be strengthened, and this is strengthening. Your faith needs to be strengthened that you come boldly. You can come boldly. You can labor in coming boldly to the throne of grace where Jesus Christ is, where he is right now, waiting for us to enter into that rest. Come unto me, all you that have labored heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. This is the rest for us. It's his mercy and it's his grace in a time of need. This is the time right now, and we need it. And we need to continually understand we have the privilege and we have access and labor and work at coming boldly unto that throne of grace for mercy and grace in a time of need, which is pretty often. So God bless you. Have a wonderful, blessed day in laboring to come boldly into the throne of grace. WSM 217. at gmail.com.